call this meeting to order. What's the number of this bill? Chairman, I'm not seeing you want to move your bill.
I would like to move House File 577, to be laid over for possible inclusion in omnibus finance bill.
Very well.
And Mr. Chair, members, member, I have with me Doug Thomas. Let me just give a little background on the bill. It's been heard in a number of committees. This is the end product from a process that has been going on for at least a year, looking at encouraging the establishment of buffers along drainage ditches in Minnesota. We had a broad-based stakeholder group that met very intensively during the summer and the fall, and came forward with recommendations. And for the purposes of this day, looking at the finance amounts, I have placed into the bill the original task force recommendations, and those are a little higher than the governor's recommendations, and we do have a comparison here, and with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Thomas.
Welcome. Can you give your name for the record, Mr. Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Doug Thomas, Assistant Director, Board of Water and Soil Resources. Thank you and good afternoon. The handout that's coming around breaks out the differences in the appropriation between House File 577 and Senate File 642 and what is in the governor's recommendation. And so I think everybody's got that now. Basically, to just go through this, the categories are on the left in terms of the major activities that are identified in the bill in the appropriation piece, and then the distinction between House File 577 and the governor's recommendation. In the area of drainage records preservation and modernization, the first activity is to develop a set of standardized state guidelines that would be used by all drainage authorities in the future as they undertake modernization of their drainage records, as well as preservation of some of these very, very old, antiquated records in the state. And that's $150,000 in the first year of the biennium in both the House File 577 and in the governor's recommendation.
Okay, we now have a quorum, so you want to officially move your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move House File 577 to be laid over when at the end of the hearing for possible inclusion in the omnibus finance bill.
Very well, continue.
Okay, Mr. Chair, the second item under the recommendation of funding for drainage records preservation and modernization is to provide one matching cost-share grants to the state's public drainage authorities, and that's basically counties or watershed districts are the two local entities that act as the state's public drainage authority. The House File 577 appropriates $2 million in the first year of the biennium. The governor's recommendation has $500,000 appropriated to the board in the second year of the biennium. The rationale on the part of Bowser and the governor's office is that let's get the guidelines done in the first year. Once the guidelines are completed, then we would offer competitive grants in the second year of the biennium and get that started, and then obviously look at the rate that we had in terms of the number of drainage authorities that are interested in, and then come back in the following biennium and ask for additional cost share funds at that point to complete the estimated cost. The estimated cost statewide we do believe is about $2 million. If we take some of our past history in terms of the cost to do drainage records modernization, we think it would be roughly that $2 million number. Moving on to the next three items, the work group also recommended that the drainage work group continue to meet and continue to be facilitated by the Board of Water and Soil Resources. They also recommended that with the changes that are in the policy bill, the policy portion of the bill, that it's high time that we update the public drainage manual. It's been since the mid-1970s since that manual has been updated, and it's basically the how-to. It's where the attorneys go, the ditch inspectors go, the viewers go, to get guidance on how to undertake and how to approach ditch projects in the state.
And a lot of urban sprawl since then, hasn't it?
Mr. Chairman, it has been. And also a lot more environmental concerns that drainage authorities need to address now than they did 20 years ago, particularly in the arena of TMDLs. And so we hope to build in a lot of that information about how to approach projects, taking into account a lot of those new factors. And then lastly, the drainage assistance team, that would be a team of three individuals that would be hired to provide kind of high-level technical assistance to drainage authorities as they go about undertaking large, complex projects and helping them address some of these environmental concerns up front, as well as helping them understand the myriad of funding sources that are available to maybe look at a ditch project differently than they had in the past, where they maybe simply didn't look at water management, but they simply looked at how do we improve it, repair it, or build it at the lowest, cheapest cost possible. On the House file in 577, basically the bill includes three specific appropriation sections. The one for the work group facilitation, it's a blank amount of money that's appropriated. $300,000 is appropriated in FY28 for the drainage manual update, and the drainage assistance team is also identified in the bill, but at an unspecified level. In the governor's recommendation, we're recommending that $300,000 in each year of the biennium be appropriated, which we would then carry out all three of those activities. Creation of the state drainage assistance team, updating the public drainage manual within the first 2 years, as well as then the continued facilitation and convening of the drainage work group to take on additional drainage issues that they've identified over the last year.
You would have this drainage assistant team give recommendations to the counties?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. They would be there to basically provide technical support to drainage authorities as they're undergoing. I can provide it at a later date. I hope to be able to provide it today. We actually had a case study that we developed for down in Nicollet County where we had some available engineering assistance and technical assistance available. We worked with the county on one of their judicial tile lines and actually found a way to work with them to incorporate a wetland restoration into an improvement proceedings on that county tile, reduce the cost to the landowners as it related specifically to the drainage, got a wetland restoration restored, were able to work with them to find all of the various pots of money to make that project feasible, and actually have some monitoring data which shows an 85% reduction in the amount of nitrate loss that's occurring from that particular, it's about a little over an 85-acre watershed in that particular case. It's some pretty dramatic results, and it's the kind of technical assistance, if that's not available to the County Drainage Authority, they're likely not to consider some of those options because the law doesn't specifically require them to do that. And so we think it's a very proactive way to work with them cooperatively, not in a mandated sense, but to have that available to work with them on projects when they're contemplating some of these larger improvements or major repair proceedings in their jurisdiction.
I'm surprised we don't have buffer strips mandated already. You think about a ditch is a direct path to public waters. Can't find a place more logical to remediate some of these things that we have going into our public waters.
Mr. Chair, on the buffer strip, and that gets kind of back into the policy part of the bill. The bill actually is designed to provide some changes in Chapter 103E to provide some enhanced authority for our public drainage authorities so that they can actually go out and install or to promote the installation of buffer strips much easier than they have in the past, make it much simpler for them to piggyback, so to speak, with programs like continuous sign-up CRP, where right now people see it as there's some impediments there, as well as then the understanding that any project that is done which requires an improvement, a major repair, or the appointment of viewers does require the establishment of the buffer strips so that they are increasing over time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Representative Doty. You have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there any government entity right now that's mandating this, or are we relying on what private individuals have done just to have a look at things?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Doty, basically the drainage law dates back to the early 1900s. It's the law that only applies to those systems which are considered public drainage systems, where they went through the establishment of in payment of benefits and damages, so that it was kind of a joint, larger joint projects. So it's those systems that we're talking about. There's still many miles of private ditches in the state. This bill does not speak to those, although a lot of the things that come out of how we manage our public drainage systems simply apply to private as well. And one of the things that we're trying to do in another whole activity is between the DNR and the Board of Water and Soil Resources, we've been able to fund what's called a Farm Bill Marketing Program, where we've got 35 technicians working in 48 counties or soil and water districts, working with landowners to promote practices that are available through federal farm programs, state farm programs, to actually buffer those private ditches as well in the state.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the members? Seeing none.
I'd like to renew my motion to consider House File 577 and the Omnibus Finance Bill that will come out of this committee.
Okay. All in favor of that motion, signify by... Oh, we have to do that. So I'm at it.
Thank you.
You got it.
Would Representative Doty like to move the minutes from the last meeting?
Mr. Chair, I move the minutes of the last meeting for approval.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those nay, the ayes have it. Next we have Representative Morrow, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I have with me Shannon Fisher, the Executive Director of the Minnesota Review Board.
Mr. Chairman, I will move House File 1143 for possible inclusion in the finance bill.
Thank you, Representative Gunther, and I should start with an author's amendment on line 1.6. This will be deleting the words $92,108 is appropriated. Delete those three words and please insert $93,000 is appropriated in each year of the biennium. So it would read $93,000 is appropriated in each year of the biennium from the general fund.
Mr. Helen, do you have it?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman.
Then Gunther, do you want to move that?
Mr. Chairman, I move that oral amendment.
Representative Gunther moves. Is there any discussion to the amendment to bring it in the shape the author would like it? Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those nay, the ayes have it. To the bill as amended.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'll keep my part of this brief. The Minnesota River runs right along the border of my district, and I remember when I first was here, and Arne Carlson, as governor, talked about the cleaning up of the Minnesota River. It still isn't clean, but certainly through the good works of folks like Mr. Fisher and Dr. Fisher, excuse me, and those in the Minnesota River Board, I think that we have good hope of progress being made. When this board was originally set up, the state and the counties were to be partners, and as Senator Frederickson said in the Senate hearing on this bill, the state has not held up its side of the bargain. Through a partnership between MSU Mankato and the public sector, as Dr. Fisher will talk about, I do think we have good hopes of improvements. I'll turn to Dr. Fisher.
Say your name for the record.
Mr. Chair, my name is Shannon Fisher. I am the Executive Director of the Minnesota River Board, and I'm also the Director of the Water Resource Center at Minnesota State University, Mankato.
Dr. Fisher.
I will try to keep my comments brief, as many of you have already seen some of this material when I was here testifying on the Watershed Management Legislative Audit a couple of weeks ago. But in your handouts, there's just some PowerPoint slides, and there's some Minnesota River Basin fast facts there. There's a few things that I really wanted to point out. One is that the Minnesota River Basin has over 340 impairments that are listed with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency as part of the EPA impaired waters requirements. We are certainly having a significant impact on Lake Pepin. We know that. We're still trying to pinpoint exactly how that impact is occurring, but we have pretty good evidence that it's coming from the Minnesota River Basin. We also have a much broader impact on the Gulf of Mexico because we are one of the largest watershed providers of nitrates in the upper Midwest. We're a large basin. We cover nearly 20% of the drainage area of Minnesota, and we are approaching a population of almost 1 million people, so we have both growing urban pressures as well as an ongoing agricultural pressure on water quality with 90% of the basin in row crop. The watershed is home to a number of critical features, not to mention, not limited to hard rock outcrops, which have both recreational, scenic, tourism, and economic value. There's a significant number of recreational resources. We have wild and scenic river designations, scenic byways, and we have some of the richest farmland in the state. In 1992, the Minnesota River Citizens Advisory Committee recommended that we establish a Minnesota River Commission and or a local joint powers agreement to help manage this basin. And in 1995, the Minnesota River Basin Joint Powers Board was created. It went into effect in 1996, and our two primary goals, at least legislatively, from the authors who pushed this bill forward, was that we were to collaborate and leverage in a judiciously appropriate manner. In other words, to promote a very balanced approach. And they wanted us to also assume leadership and promotion of local government involvement, but they really wanted the counties to be the leaders on this county and state partnership. On the bottom of page two, there's just a scanned copy of a Free Press article. This was a really big deal for the basin. It made the front page of our local paper. It might have been a slight overstatement on Governor Carlson's quote there, but nonetheless, for the Minnesota River Basin anyways, this was a really significant and historical document. On the top of page three, you can see there are kind of three, I guess, approaches that we take to the work that we do. Our mission statement is to have a purpose of the Minnesota River Board is to provide leadership, build partnerships, and support efforts to improve and protect water quality in the Minnesota River Basin. By doing so, our vision has been to preserve and restore the Minnesota River Valley through cooperative efforts between citizens and government and business. And our goal has been to restore and preserve the Minnesota River's recreational, habitat, and scenic beauty by leveraging existing resources at the local, state, and federal levels. On the bottom of that page there, you can see the executive committee. We are a broad committee of executives made up of county commissioners. And then on the top of page four, you can see our basic structure. We kind of work on the three-legged stool paradigm. The Minnesota River Board itself, which consists of the county commissioners, we handle most of the policy and coordination duties for the board. We have been working on getting a better handle on water plan integration, doing some policy development and providing some assistance in regards to grant development. The watershed programs are also involved. We work with them directly, and I would like to see that relationship enhanced, which is one of the biggest advantages of the appropriation that we're requesting. The bigger piece of this, though, or the biggest change that has occurred in the years that the River Board has been in existence is the bottom part there with our involvement with the Water Resource Center. 3 years ago, the Minnesota River Board and the Water Resource Center made a decision to basically merge. They are still two separate entities, but we work very closely together on a very common mission, and it was just a much more efficient way of doing business. It allows the board to be much more stable than they used to be because they can now lean on the infrastructure of the university to a great degree. And this has been a much improved scenario for the board, and it has proven to be a very fruitful relationship for the university as well. I came on with the board in 2005. I'm just coming up on my second year. And one of the biggest issues that I saw for the board was that we had strayed a little bit from some of our statutory requirements. And one of the things that I did is on the bottom of page 4, I took the statute that created us and I broke it down into a series of large components, and you can see them listed there. And we developed a strategic plan, a procedures guide strategic plan, which the board had been lacking for a number of years. And in this plan, we went through and actually evaluated each of those statutory requirements. You know, how good of a job have we done? Where have we done well? Where have we done poorly? And what should we be doing differently? This document has been an extremely valuable asset for us in terms of driving our direction. And I look forward to continuing on the goals of that document. The board has been very productive. On our very limited budget and our very limited staffing, we feel we've accomplished a lot. The top of page 5 is just a short list of some of the things that we are doing or have done, including working with the Clean Water Legacy Act funding coordination. We are currently working with the Pollution Control Agency along with a number of farm groups to develop a nutrient trading network in the southern part of the state. We are working on conservation funding promotion, integrated watershed models with the Corps of Engineers. We continue to work or be involved with the drainage education and evaluation components that you just heard about from Assistant Director Thomas. The communications enhancement has been a big deal for us. We have worked with the McKnight Foundation and hired through the Water Resource Center and the Minnesota River Watershed Alliance, a communications coordinator. We are going to be starting to take over the coordination of the tillage transect surveys. And I want to highlight the last three items on the list. The Lake Crystal Clean Water Partnership, I think, really is the epitome of what we should be all about. The Minnesota River Board brought together a small group of people from agencies, from counties, and from cities to bring together and identify a need. There was a need for a clean water partnership. Lake Crystal is one of the most impaired lakes in southern Minnesota, along with Loon Lake, and the city needed help. And we were able to bring the right people together, and as a result of that, we have achieved a successful 319 grant, and we have achieved a successful Clean Water Legacy Act grant on behalf of the City of Lake Crystal, and we are looking forward to a great partnership there now with over $300,000 to work with. The Middle Minnesota is another example of where I think the board is highly effective. The Middle Minnesota River is a real diffuse section of the river that does not have a real established watershed, and so therefore we are able to do a lot of good assistance there. And the Minnesota River Summit is another example of where we worked closely with a number of people to bring together more than 180 individuals from across stakeholder groups and really talk about where we're heading with the river and what we want to do. So the bottom line from my perspective is that the board is very active, but we would like to do a lot more. I have been participating in a survey, or we have results from a survey that was done by St. Cloud State University that's indicated that residents understand that it takes a long time to get the river cleaned up, but they also strongly indicated in the survey that they want it done a lot faster. And that's the work that we can help do, and I think we are making progress. You know, with an appropriation, the intent of the board would be to increase our assistant director's staff time a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit, and to hire a full-time technical staff person who is really going to be the one that can go out, spend the time on the ground, working on these partnerships.
Dr. Fisher, Representative Gunther has to leave, but I know he has a question, so I will.
Dr. Fisher, I'm glad you mentioned Lake Crystal and Loon Lake because they flow into the Maniopa Creek. Maniopa Creek goes in Maniopa Falls, and there's a sign there that says, the brown water that you're looking at, you can't swim in anymore. And I remember as a young man in high school going up there sometimes, most of the time, all the time with a girl. You go down there underneath the falls, and it's kind of a fun trip to pack a little lunch, you know. Are we improving that at all?
Dr. Fisher.
Mr. Chair, the data are starting to show that improvements are being made. You know, I have to express the fact that we had 120 plus years of pretty significant degradation to this water body, and we're now about, you know, 10 to 15 years into a full thrust cleanup effort. But the anecdotal evidence that I can give is that there are a number of fish species in the river, for example, that we haven't seen in a long time.
Okay.
And they're starting to show back up again. And we do a State of the River report annually that is also starting to show that the trends are, we only have a few data points though, so we want to be a little cautious, but the trends are starting to show that things are improving. In regards to the Miniopa Creek fecal coliform problem and the signs that are there, those signs were initiated by a local group that took an interest because it was the falls in a state park. The reality check on that is that the Miniopa fecal coliform problems are no worse than any other southern Minnesota stream. And so if we were to make a full-fledged declaration that we shouldn't be swimming in Miniopa Creek, we probably shouldn't be swimming anywhere else either.
Good point. Any other questions? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on this bill? Seeing none, Representative Gunther?
I will remove my motion to have House File 1143 be laid over for possible inclusion of finance bill.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
See you later.
We're looking for Representative McNamara. So why don't we take a recess for like 4 minutes?
Mr. Schoenfeld, do you want to say something?
I just wanted to talk to you during the recess.
I believe Representative Peterson moves the recess until 1:05. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I thought we're in recess until 1:05.
I got my pot behind you. That's what I was looking at. You though. I was looking at my book.
You're a tough chair.
Yeah.
I guess it's going on.
Two steaks and coffee.
The worst lunch experience I had, I went about 10 days ago over to the cafeteria. He's coming back with his styrofoam box. I get there, they're closed. That's how much I miss lunch. Oh, that hurts.
Yeah.
That really hurts.
That's that double cheese and McDonald's for a buck and six.
Hey, that's
that's what you end up with.
Yeah.
Eat it on the way back.
Order that number two. Tell my wife, that's one less week in the home.
Yeah. Exactly. Now you're going to tell me that. That's it. One more McDonald's I eat, the less you have to deal with in the home.
One less week in the home.
You got to work out some White Castle.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. White Castle?
You're a cheaper.
I have not done that one. You do that one.
I burned out on those.
I think I did it 10 years ago after the bar closed one time.
My after the bar closed was used to be tacos.
Oh, yeah. Tacos.
It helps to close the bar first on either of those.
Yeah.
Can I
stew
those microphones?
No. They like Taco John's or Taco Bell.
Yeah, so they might have bombed us.
So I went to a Timberwolves game. You're talking about tacos. So it's on the back here. If the Wolves score over 100 points tonight, everybody gets a free taco. So the game went into overtime.
I think
it
tied
at 1. I'm going to do 100. So for the last 30 seconds of regulation, the whole Target Center was chanting Taco Bell. Brilliant. The no guys don't play in the game. And they don't read the shots. And they don't have plans to score points. Well, that's human. And we always get Taco Bell after this.
There he is.
You know, she didn't say that. I said I was going to give it to you. And I'm going to ask my friend.
You can get, yes, check, you're doing it. Okay, by the time you say yes, you can do it. The utility Minnesota Power will supply
has to supply, will supply?
Will supply a portion along with Manitoba.
Correct, because I've seen a line coming out of Manitoba to that spot.
230
minutes. Now that's so, when Excelsior says they've got to build Excelsior to fire the steel plant, it's not true. That's what I wanted to hear from the representative from the district.
From the district. Thank you.
Because I've heard from other representatives who are not you.
Yes, because many speak for the project, but they don't represent the project.
Right. Okay, good. Now, this is not DRI. It's going to be many minutes.
We are making steel, rolled and flat steel,
yeah.
And we're doing it there because the metallurgy, i.e. the chemistry of the ore body, is absolutely the best in North America for this integrated project.
Is it? You're not going to import slabs?
No, no, no.
Is it still legal to make steel in the United States and not China?
Well, I'm sure there's a federal prohibition somewhere.
We got rid of that the second week of Bush's
term.
Is Keewatin that has the Chinese flag over it? What's that going to plant that's got the deal with China on it?
They were then in the
Okay, okay.
My understanding was the LAIN
by the numbers. I don't think she
But this is the most exciting. Well, this is where I believe the footprint of where this is in the air body is literally where I grew up.
So it's an ore body that hasn't been...
It's an ore body that has been mined since 1906.
Okay.
And what's left is
Okay. That Minnesota Power can do it.
Now we recessed until 5 after 1, so we got a minute. Want to make sure.
1 minute? You're coming, you're going to want, why don't we get Phil? Why don't you come up on the wall?
Do you want to move this one again?
Sure. So who stole this?
I'm going to go off the red light.
It doesn't apply to me because I would never run a red light.
No, I've never run a red light.
Okay, it's 5 after 1. I'll call the meeting back to order. We have House File 816 with Representative McNair. Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House File 816. And do we need to recommend it? Possible inclusion?
Possible inclusion in the...
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative McNair.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Hoppe, for moving the bill. Mr. Chair, I just have a question. Will we present this bill again, then, in Representative Wagenius's committee, or at this point, it'll be laid over for the possible inclusion?
It'll be laid over. We would not present it in Representative Wagenius's committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What this is, members, this is a bill to put in some funding that would help with implementing a plan down at Umar Park in Dakota County as part of the bill that was last year in the University of Minnesota football stadium. And with me is Joe Kersinka from the Department of Natural Resources. And I think I'll let Mr. Kersinka from the DNR explain potentially how we could utilize this money.
Mr. Chairman, representatives, my name is Joe Kersinka. I'm the Central Region Director for the Department of Natural Resources. In speaking to this bill, I think it's important that I identify that I was the department's lead representative in following up on legislation that was created in 2006 that, in part of the stadium process, shifted 2,840 acres of land from the University of Minnesota to a joint management arrangement with the state of Minnesota, the Department of Natural Resources, the university, and Dakota County. We have been meeting since that became law last year and have developed an overall approach and process to our joint management of the land. And eventually the land will be transferred to the state of Minnesota. The state of Minnesota will be working, will continue to work with the university in Dakota County in moving forward with that. This is a really unique piece of land for those of you that aren't familiar with it. It is a large, obviously 2,840 acres is a large tract in a highly urbanizing area. And it is connected to a current WMA that we already have, WMA, AMA, and a potential other track that would be part park, part regional park, and also in a further addition to the WMA. We could have approximately 4,000 to 5,000 acres of public open space available in this highly urbanizing area. What this bill is doing is it's requesting $200,000 from the general fund. That amount is not in the governor's budget, but it would allow the steering committee, which is representative of the university, the department, and Dakota County, to work together on laying out a detailed plan for that site. It begins with a resource inventory, which is essential to understanding precisely what we have out there. There is currently a number of acres, 1,000 of the 1,800 is farmed under lease agreements with local farmers. There is also a number of other leases on the land, and the university is involved in quite a few agricultural-related research plots out there. We need to do a site inventory to understand precisely what's there. We need to then go back and look at, on a smaller scale, at site analysis, at soils and slopes and moisture content, in order to begin to talk about the overall restoration of this. The guidance from the legislature is that a major portion of this will become a wildlife management area. It's our desire to put this back in its more native habitat, which principally would be prairie. There may be some wetlands associated with this, as well as a small amount of upland area. Based on the site aid analysis, we would go through an overall restoration plan, as well as there are, as I mentioned, a number of activities that are currently out there to include some recreational activities. There's a trail on there. All of these things would have to be analyzed and recited. It's within the legislation, as well as our agreement that we will continue to do the variety of recreational activities as well as research that are on the land, but we have to figure out the best places to accommodate those in order to address the various public interests that are there. So this would really, this money would give us a big step forward in being able to move towards that. It would be utilized, it would be, as it's written here, it would come to the department, but we would do this in a joint working relationship with the university and Dakota County.
Any questions? The plenary recognize a question. I know the Southern Water Conservation District had
done land cover mapping, I think, as part of grants from DNR, along with the county biological survey, and I'm just wondering how much of this work may have been done already on the site.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think it's our intent to utilize that information as a basis and not duplicate those findings that we already have as we move forward.
Okay. Any other questions? I see the university's here. Mr. Iverson, do you want to say anything? You don't have to if you don't want to.
University. They like the idea, Mr. Chair. I think it's certainly is my hope that we give this strong consideration, because this is an asset that many folks have valued in tens of millions of dollars, and potentially in the upper parts of the tens of millions. And so this is the beginning of potentially an opportunity for us to do some planning investment, with the idea that maybe next year it's something that would be appropriate to be in the bonding bill. Might be the most appropriate spot for that to be.
Okay. Any other questions, Representative Hoppe?
I'm fine, Mr. Chair.
Renew your motion.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I would like to renew my motion that we, for House File 116, that we lay it over for possible inclusion of the Could I set that down?
816.
816. You got it wrong. I said it. Lay that over for possible inclusion of the
Thank you. We have no other bills before us today. Is there anyone else who would want to testify or any issues? We'll be meeting on Friday to look at one of these bills as a vehicle for the omnibus bill coming out of this committee. With that, I'll adjourn the meeting.